Simon has quite nicely just helped us to start moving into the thought that we wanted to just consider. But it is very much about family. And I wanted to just see you as a family and ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind. So I'm going to change my image on the screen for the sake of those who see the recording of this. And I'm back to now looking at all of you. So I'm now on gallery, not just speaker. I want to do that because I need to ask you a couple of questions. I want to see, first of all, we're talking to Simon and Suzanne, I want to see how everyone else, how you all are. And I'm not going to give you all an opportunity to give you your story of what you're doing next week. Don't have time for that. But I do want to ask you some simple questions about how things are going. So first of all, I wonder how many of you would consider that these days that we are going through for you are tough? If you consider these are tough days, put your hand up, please. A lot of people think they're tough. Kind of hoping, I'm going to persuade you, there might be a few more of you that would want to see that. Who thinks that you are having to find yourselves facing significant challenges at the moment? If that's you, just put your hand up. Okay, so lots of you are going through some real challenges. Of course you are. Inflation's 10% and rising, cost of living. You can't ignore that. Finance is a challenge. Do you know, this week I got a bill. I was told what the bill would be, the amount of electricity and gas that we use in our house. First, they told us how much we use. And the good news is we used significantly less in the first 6 months of this year than we did in the 6 months of last year. That's fantastic. Thank you, Lord, for more sunshine, more heat, less frost. We didn't have to use as much. That's brilliant. Until they told us how much we're going to pay. Despite using so much less, we're having to pay double this year what we paid last year. And then they gave me the news of what we're going to pay extra each month in the standing order that's taken out. We're now going to increase it by £100 a month more than it was last month. That happens in 2 days' time. Great. So there's the finance, the pressure on the economy. Prime Minister. We don't know who the next prime minister is in this country, do we? Tell me something, quick show of hands again. Who is confident that the prime minister of this country, the next prime minister, will have all the answers for us? Put your hand up if you're confident the new PM will have all the answers. John is. That's good. Well done, John. I love your optimism. That's brilliant. But interestingly, nobody else put their hands up. I wonder how many of you are confident that the new government will genuinely address and meet social care needs as a priority. The care for the elderly, health provision, mental health provision, care of the vulnerable, will give priority to the vulnerable in education. Put your hand up if you're confident that the new government will genuinely give priority to all of those things. Interesting, no hands again. I'm with you, absolutely. And then, of course, there are nations at war not that far from here, in our own continent in Europe. Cruise missiles landing, smashing into buildings, killing men, women, and children on our screens. Put your hand up if you think that conflict is likely to come to an end very soon. Nobody again. Of course. And what's the conclusion of that? The conclusion is, of course, these are challenging days. These are not easy, and we all face difficulties. And now I just ask you, put your hand up if your families, if someone in your family is perhaps facing something of a crisis at the moment, a challenge, because I know someone in my family who is. So put your hand up if your family is struggling. Many of you, thank you, bless you for that. So many of us, of course, know the reality. These are difficult times. But I have some really good news for you. And the good news is you are not alone. You're not alone in this because God has designed you to be in a network to help you through that, to get through these problems, to help one another get through the problems, and a group organized so that you can help those who around us who are facing crises and need someone to just lift them. And that network is the family. It is God's family. It's the people that you see on your screen around us, the people God has given us, his church. So on my last Sunday with you for a few weeks now, I want to remind you of that family that you have apart from the minister who are around you and will be with you as you go through these difficult times. I want to remind you of the church family that God has placed around you to bless you. I want to remind you that you are chosen by God to be part of that family. And I want to remind you to discover the blessing of that family and then to discover how you can be a blessing to that family. And to do all of that, I want to turn to a passage of scripture where we read of a church family that was a little bit on their own in really tough times. And the Apostle Paul was writing, he wrote a letter to them, a letter to the church at Thessalonica. They were a young church. They were new Christians. When pressures from all around the world, much like today, wanted to distract them, to put them off their track, to stop them pursuing God's family, to pursuing a life with God, he wrote a letter to encourage them. He wrote, he was blown away by how faithful they were. We read testimony of that, and we'll come to that in a moment. But yet he was concerned they were on their own. So he wrote this letter, 1 Thessalonians, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to remind them of who Jesus was, of what he'd done, and of his desire to be with them, and of the family that was around them in the meantime, and how they could support one another to be a blessing to one another in the meantime. So unusually this morning, what I want to do is do more reading than speaking directly. Let scripture speak to us. And I'm going to go through this entire book, just picking out key verses that give you a taste, give you a flavor of all that Paul wanted them to grasp. So I'll begin in chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy. Here's the team that are speaking to them at this time. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Who's he writing to? Just this group of unique Christians. He's not trying to identify them just as people who are defined by this individual and this individual and this location. No, the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, their identity was in him. And so he's pointing them in that direction. And then he's greeting to them, grace and peace to you. I wonder what greetings we give when we talk to one another. How do we begin? Do we begin by asking, and how are you? And how's these aches and pains? How's this health situation? How often do we send greetings of grace? Grace, the undeserved blessings from God. Do we talk about those things to remind each other and lift one another up? That's how Paul begins, by reminding them of the grace of God and peace to you. May the peace of God be on you. When we think of one another in our church family, do we think about sharing who God is and what he's done with people? And then blessing them with God's peace. May you know peace with God that will allow the other things to be dealt with. He continues, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. That's an impressive thing, isn't it? We always give thanks and we remember you, mention you in our prayers. Do we do that? Is that a fundamental part of who we are as Parsons Heath Baptist Church or a Baptist church in Cheltenham? That we would constantly be thinking of individuals and remembering who they are, thanking God for them. It's a great way to start. Do you know, if you're feeling a little down, if you're feeling frustrated with the things that you're going with, start by thinking of who it is in that network God has blessed you with, and start by thanking God for them. And what do you thank them for? Well, he goes on, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get those three words? Faith, hope, and love. What is it that inspires them? It's not inspired by the fact that someone's just put a new kitchen in or had a new bathroom done, or someone has just been onto a nice place on the holidays. What inspires him is the work that's been produced by faith, the faith he's seeing in these people, the labor, the effort they're going through, the sacrifice they're making on behalf of others, which is prompted by love. Love being seen in someone is inspirational. That's what he's thanking them for. And your endurance inspired by hope. What blows me away sometimes is when I see Christians going through tough things, but they can see beyond them and they hang on and they hold on and they endure because of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he explains why they have this hope. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And on this Sunday morning, when you don't know who your PM is, and there's a war going on, and finances are tough, God has chosen you. And all those Christians that you've seen on your screen this morning, part of the family around you, and whoever else is part of that family, brothers and sisters, loved by God, he's chosen them because our gospel came to you simply with words and power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. He's seeing the blessing that has come in God into this people who he's now united with. And we read, you know how we lived among you for your sake. Paul lived with them, not because of what he could get out of them. He lived with them so that he could bless them and enrich them and teach them and draw them back to God and encourage them. That was why he lived. And he's now at a distance from them, but he's encouraged by what he's heard. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You welcomed the message. In the midst of severe suffering, you welcome the message of Christ with joy. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And we can today add to that and to encouragement to all the believers in Britain. 3,000 years from now, these people and their faith, hope, and love is an inspiration to us too. Wow. Are we an inspiration because we are working through that faith that is in us? We're expending energy, seeking to bless people because of a compassion, a love in us, and able to withstand whatever comes because of hope in Jesus. And then let me jump to chapter 3, verse 6. Now he gets the report that's come back from Timothy. But Timothy has now just come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. There they are again, faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. What a blessing to have Simon and Suzanne here and hear that they think good things of us. And we can say, as you all, many of you have, you can pray because of the way they have blessed us. Isn't it good to think of the positive about one another and think of all those ways that folk enrich us? And so they have. They've been encouraged as a consequence. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. What is it that encourages this man? It's their faith. Do you know, the thing that encourages me is like today, when you all turn up, when you care about God and one another, when you put your faith into practice, that's what blows me away. I don't care if you've got a degree and you've just passed another exam or you've just weeded your garden. Well, good. That's nice that you've done something constructive. But it is your faith that inspires me. When you turn up at a prayer time and you are part of the number and you're saying, I'm here with you, that inspires and encourages me. I want to invite you to encourage one another while I am away. While Richard and Angie and Hazel are carrying things, turn up, be there, support them, show them, share with one another the ways you've found God, and so your faith will inspire. And it even inspired Paul in what he was going through. And bear in mind, he was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was threatened and persecuted mercilessly. He would meet his death not that long after this. He truly faced uncertain times, but it was other people's faith that lifted him, as I hope ours does you this morning. And so it's the final chapter, chapter 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, in other words, he's saying, since we are realistic about the day we find ourselves in, let us be sober, putting on faith. That sober, by the way, is not just on the old wampum, not just alcohol. It's about sober-minded, realistic, practical, level-headed, self-controlled. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate. We're back to the big three again: faith and love, protecting the heart, the breastplate. Put them on. Remind yourself of your faith. Dig into it. Pour into scripture. Talk to your God. Deepen your faith. Bring that to the church family over these difficult weeks ahead. And your love, show it in compassion, show it in a phone call, show your love for others, show you care. And he goes on, he has told us, for your faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. There's the third of the Holy Trinity of words: faith, hope, love. And it's the hope of salvation, fitted as a helmet, protecting the head, the mind. When your mind wants to spin out of control with panic through uncertainty, when things you think are just impossible, hope that comes through salvation. Fit it like a helmet. You wouldn't dream, if you were sane, of being on a motorbike and driving at high speed in this world without the protection of a helmet. So for a Christian, fit that helmet of salvation. Remind yourself of who you are and the eternal future you have. And then he explains it, verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath in the day of judgment, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's your gift. Do you know when you talk to someone on the phone and they've got nothing to say to you because they're down? When they're absolutely burned out, when the family is at its wit's end, when problems are too deep, remind them of Jesus. Remind them of the hope that they have. Verse 10, he goes on, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, in this life or the life to come, we may live together with him. That's your privilege. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? You get to walk with Jesus tomorrow, whatever you face. He's there with you alongside. When people are struggling and overwhelmed, they need someone to remind them of the hope that we have. Will that be you over the next few weeks? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's verse 11. And that is my longing to you. That is my prayer for you, wherever you find yourself. Encourage one another. Build each other up in God. What a blessing. You've been given a great family of people chosen and cleansed by God. Yeah, they're all imperfect. They're a bit weird, really, aren't they? You know, including me. I know that. Believe me, I really know that. But wow, to have a family who love you and will pray for you. I want to encourage you. They need you too. What can you do? Are you up for that in these tough times? Over the days when I'm not around to make a phone call or two, will you do it? You're going to play your part. And then he comes at the end to final instructions. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. I want to ask you, please, to look after Richard, Jackie, and Hazel, and Angie, Mick, as they seek to be here for you and hold the fort. I want to ask you, back them up. Don't give them a hard time. If they get something wrong, don't moan about them, even to yourself. Seek to be there for them. Those who work hard, hold them up, pray for them, support them. You know, their circumstances are tough too. They're human, they've got their own issues, so pray for them. Do you want to know how you can then help one another? Verse 14, and I'll close with this. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, be careful how you do this next bit. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Maybe that's my place more than anything else. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Encourage the disheartened. Do you know there are some in this church who are utterly disheartened because of what they're facing? Encourage them. Help the weak, those who are struggling to cope. Some of you are doing that in amazing ways for one another. I want to invite you all to dig in and see what you can do to bless one another. Be patient with one another. You're patient with me most of the time, so thank you for that. Be patient with one another when you drive each other nuts. and people say things and do things and don't do things. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. And then that final invitation, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. This is not my will. I know it'll be good for the wider church when we do that for one another, but this is God's will for you. Much more importantly, rejoice always in what you have. And that includes the guys on the screen in front of you that you may or may not be able to see at the moment. Pray continually. Don't stop talking to God. He's your lifeline. He's your source of nutrient. Give thanks in all circumstances, whatever you're facing. And help one another do that over the days ahead. I implore and encourage you. So let me pray for all of you as I disappear off at this point. And may God richly bless you together as you look after one another in the next few weeks.